It is Thursday, and that means it's Sports Look time here on Care Radio. Great to have you along with us. Our Sports Look sponsors, Exchange Bank, Taco John's, Gerber Electric, and Hamada Wealth Management. Tom Couts, Gus Couts with you. The upcoming sports schedule, Gus, is so packed. In fact, about 30 minutes from now, we're going to have our next game is this evening in Olathe, Kansas. We'll have the Atchison Phoenix at Heritage Christian. Ladies game at about 6. Guys game coming up after that. Tomorrow night, we'll turn our sights to the NEKL as ACCHS will travel to Marhill Mount Academy as those teams begin their season. Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens. Now, make a note on your calendar because you've got this down wrong. They changed the times. It is now 12:02 for the games for Mid-America on Saturday as opposed to what they had originally scheduled. So Saturday here on Care Radio, 12 o'clock for the Lady Ravens, the guys at 2 o'clock. And then next Tuesday, high school sports continues, Morehill Mount Academy at Jefferson County North. Wow, guys, tons of stuff going on. But before we close the page and lock up the old binder, high school football wrapped up last week with state championship games and some surprises, some not surprises. But if we start with 6A, all right, that's my first surprise.
Yeah, first time winner, and a big surprise is Derby does not repeat. It was Blue Valley Northwest taking home the trophy for the first time in program history, and in kind of a landslide fashion, right? Winning 41-21.
Yeah, and in fact, they had gotten out to a big lead early in that ball game, and frankly, Derby was not ever a part of that state championship game, and what was to me just a shocker.
So you get an East team winning there in Class 5A. Mill Valley had no problems with anybody, did they? I mean, their closest game was probably that state championship game against Mays, but Mill Valley coming away with a 28-14 win. So the Jaguars, champions of Class 5A.
Yeah, jumping over to 4A, it was SJA and Andover Central and the Thunder of St. James Academy in what was had to be a thrilling game, 28-21 over Andover Central. So,
and for St. James, that was their only close game, right? They won 42-19, 31-7, 35-7, 56-22. So they had no real problems on their way to punching that ticket.
And Class 3A, I think the bigger surprise was the two teams that made it to the championship, but once they got there, I don't think there's any question that the Indians were going to win this one.
Yeah, Andale was just powerful all season and had no real problems with Frontenac. And Frontenac, you know, a good team. We saw that they beat Holton the week before, 32-13, but were no match for Andale, losing 53-0.
How do you have a state championship game 53-0? I mean, I cannot even fathom how a title game is so one-sided. So congratulations to Andale.
Is it crazy? 6-5-4 all went to the East, and you have to go to Class 3A before you see a team out west win one.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't stay out west very long because how about Rossville? Huh? Those guys have been outstanding all season long. Bulldogs defeat Beloit, and again, a game that was never very close, 35-12.
Yeah, Rossville kind of rolled through the postseason, beating Republic County, Nemaha Central 32-12, beating Riverton 56-14, defeating Silver Lake, and what a year for them. Not just state title, but they also get to say they beat Silver Lake twice.
Twice?
Right, I mean, so that's big for them. I mean, that might be it might be as big as the state title.
So congratulations to Rossville. In Class 1A, yeah, keep it in the East as Opie actually does, in fact, give up a score.
Yeah, they gave up a touchdown in maybe scrub minutes.
Yeah, and Opie on the season gave up 24 points. And what a year again for the Eagles as they win over Inman 35-6 to repeat.
Yeah, you saw Opie a few weeks ago, and it's crazy to think that was just a few weeks ago that JCN was down there. But, you know, JCN might have given Opie one of the closer games that they had all season, right? Playing them to a 28-point game.
No question. And also, it was a much colder day 2 weeks ago than it is today here in the Care listening area.
And what, the Skalski kid is a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year.
Yep, and looking to repeat that honor.
Yeah,
Ted's a great athlete.
So, you know, kind of good deal there. You go to class, eight-man, Division I.
Mm-hmm. How about them Buffaloes? The title now goes west as Meade knocked off Little River. Another really good game, 22-14. Anytime you've got a one score, one possession kind of a win, that is remarkable. But I think most remarkable to me is the fact it was that low scoring.
I was just going to say that an eight-man game totaled 36 points. I think for me, maybe that is the craziest.
Yeah, because Meade, to get to the title, beats Hill City 48-34. They had also, you know, won over Gossel 70-20. They scored 54 on Waukini, Trago County, 54 on Atwood. And not to be outdone, Little River beat Canton 76-68 in the semifinal. I mean, they rolled up tons of points in the course of this thing. So a big scoring season, but a low scoring title game.
Yeah, in 8-man Division II, bring the title back east, right? Axtell winning over Wheatland Grinnell, winning that game 44-18. Axtell, a state champion in class, or in 8-man Division II football. You want to run down to, there is a 6-man state title, and it went to Natoma?
Natoma!
Winning 60-12 over Cunningham.
Now, I have never been to Natoma, but I have, on more than one occasion, been to Cunningham. And I bet you haven't been to either one of those.
I couldn't point them on a map if you told me to.
So, well, you'd have to throw the dart way out west to find both of them. I'll give you that.
So, with all of that being said, congratulations to the state champions. And now, the football gets rounder.
Yeah.
Right?
And basketball for all of the high schools begins tonight for, again, us here on Care Radio with Atchison here on Care, their season opener. And pretty much for most of the schools around the state, it's going to begin tomorrow night is Friday night. High school hoops. The teams that won state championships didn't have a lot of time to get together and get ready, but you know, my experience and observation has been the teams that win state titles don't need much time.
Yeah, a lot of times those athletes early on in the season can just kind of turn it on and away they go. Games going on tonight, Atchison you'll have at Heritage Christian. Donovan West is going to be at Axtell. You're going to have Burlington at Holton. And there's also a little wrestling going on. Jeff West is at ACCHS. Morehill Mount Academy is at Atchison. Perry LeCompton also at that ACCHS invite. So it's kind of crazy that all these winter sports getting going this time of the year. Tomorrow night, though, full slate of basketball.
Basketball all over the place. And by the way, there is also going to be wrestling going on today. And we talk about that? Oh, we're going to talk about that here in a minute, right? Tell you what, it's a great time. And again, Atchison playing basketball tonight. Onega's at Wetmore. D. West has got Axtell. I mean, so you've got a handful of games going on around the area this evening. We're going to go ahead.
Games tomorrow night, Nemaha Central at Perry LeCompton, ACCHS and Morehill Mount Academy. Why not just put that game one, night one, right? Like, let's get that out there. So it'll be Tigers and the Ravens. You'll have Jeff County North at McLeod tomorrow night. So a lot of great games, and it's just that time of year.
Gotta love it. We got to take a break. We got to get through Sports Hook because we got basketball coming up shortly. We'll return with more Sports Hook here on Care. Welcome back to Sports Hook here on Care Radio. Even though football here is done at the high schools and for us, for college, still, the remnants of the season, the accolades from the season previously completed roll in, and Heart of America Athletic Conference has made its postseason awards, Gus. And you look down through it, and, you know, I don't see a whole lot of big surprises here.
No. Can I tell you, this is just kind of me being me. Some of the selections kind of drive me nuts, right? Like, I mean, okay, I understand player of the year. But then we have co-offensive players of the year, co-defensive players of the year, then freshman of the year, and then coach of the year. I mean, that's just a whole lot of honors. Like, let's narrow it down, right? Like pick it out. Who is the player of the year?
Yes.
Who is the defensive player of the year? I don't need co. I mean, I get it that by the time you vote and come up with things that it happens like that, but, you know, a lot of honors in the Ravens garnering one of those is Jalen James was a defensive player of the year in the conference. He'll share that honor with B.J. Harvey of Baker.
Yep, Jalen James, senior season, how about this? 93 tackles on the year, 3.5 sacks, 1 interception, and he moved into the number 2 all-time tackling spot in Raven history, right?
Yep. So for Jalen James, I think started the season at like 6 or 7 and moved all the way up to 2nd, and, you know, quite an honor, quite a fun player to watch over the last 5 years.
It's been fantastic. One of those very special guys. One of the guys that you look back on years from now, it's a name that you will remember.
A name you might remember from the last game of the year, Caleb Tanis, right? I think that, honestly, the day he put up against Benedictine in that final game of the season for Mid-America, Caleb Tanis pushes his way up to co-offensive player of the year with J.D. Woods, and no shock here as the coach of the year. Deservedly so, David Callaway of Central Methodist. They were picked, what, like 3rd or 4th in the South, and then they end up winning the whole thing. And freshman of the year, we said this when we left that game in Fayette, that it had to be Paxton De La Ronde.
Right. Had it not been him, there would have been some failure of justice.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, everything. Taking a quick look at the first team all-conference selections for Benedictine. You had a wide receiver, Trey Adger was first team. Tight end, Reed Levi was first team. And offensive lineman, John Capron was first team. And Matt Heinrich, the punter, all-conference first team.
Yeah, and I think every one of those guys absolutely deserves that. You know, here's the thing. You see Matt Heinrich, you watch what he does, you know, and you could see, you know, the spectacular plays and the tremendous work that he's done. A guy like a John Capron, you know, there's the blue collar, working in the trenches kind of a guy. It's kind of difficult, isn't it, to look at offensive linemen and say, this guy's fantastic and this guy's, you know, kind of, you know, middle of the pack, and pick out those really good ones because they don't get a lot of attention, a lot of glory. We don't say their names often enough.
Yeah, I think that when you're coming to these postseason honors, offensive linemen are the hardest ones to pick, right? Like, you need somebody to jump up on a table and beat it for their guy, and that helps get it across. So, you know, hats off to him. You go down to first-team all-conference defense, Benedictine only getting one player on there, as it was Jalen James Baker. How about that? 2-4-7. So, 7 first-team all-defense. Second-team all-conference in the South Division, running back Rayshon Mills and offensive lineman Clayton Mordecai. The all-conference defense on the second team, Isaac Anderson, Tyler Tierney, and Austin Buteau gets it as a returner for second team. And then honorable mention, you had Kettle, Jayshon Todd, Josh Morris. So good to see a lot of Ravens getting those postseason honors and accolades, and well-deserved.
Absolutely. And, you know, for some of them, seasons are going to continue next year. For a lot of those seniors, you know, they have just had spectacular careers at Benedictine, and they're going to look back at all of those sparkling records and say, you know what, we had some good Saturdays.
Isn't it kind of crazy that the NAIA playoffs are going on, and now we're all the way down to the Final Four?
That's right. And,
you know, yesterday I had to actually go back and watch the video because, you know, what was it? 3 years ago, on December 1st, was when Benedictine punched the ticket in Salina to go to Daytona. And here we are, just right on the cusp of seeing who punches their ticket to go to Durham this year. So, Lindsey Wilson's been playing really well. They had no problem with Montana Western. When you get down to the Final Four, you're going to see, what, Grandview going to Lindsey Wilson, and then you're going to see Northwestern and Morningside. So there's a conference battle. We saw those two teams hook up just a couple weeks ago in a very high-scoring game that I didn't think anybody really expected to see it that high-scoring. Could be interesting.
You know, you say that, and I'm hoping that it is, But I'm telling you what, Morningside has just been steamrolling people. They have gotten better, I think, every week as the season has gone along. And for it to not be Lindsey Wilson and Morningside would be a shocker to me.
Yeah, because what, last year's national title game was Lindsey Wilson and Northwestern.
Yeah.
Right. Lindsey Wilson beat Kaiser 54-12. Morningside steamrolls KW 58-21. Grandview holds off Concordia 31-16, and it was Northwestern just sneaking by Marion 25-20. So, yeah, right now, if you've got two offenses that are rolling, and that's Morningside with their 58 points, Lindsey Wilson with their 54 points last week. And
now, the thing that I've got to ask you is the Heartland the true home of football? Because Iowa...
Three Iowa teams in the Final Four? I would say you'd probably have to go that way with Lindsey Wilson out of Kentucky being right there. So, yeah, should be fun. And next week when we're here on Sports Hook, we'll be talking about who's going to the national title game. Let's hear it. What you're going with Lindsey Wilson?
Lindsey Wilson and Morningside. No question
about
it.
Okay, there we go.
There you go. With that said, we're going to shift to basketball and talk about that when Sports Hook continues right after this. Welcome back to Sports Hook. We're zipping along through this thing. High school basketball coming up at the top of the hour, so we're approaching AHS Phoenix basketball as they're going to begin the season on Care Radio because Heart of America Athletic Conference, a lot of basketball going on around the conference last night. We were able to go over and watch the Ravens as they began their conference portion of the season over at Missouri Valley yesterday.
Yeah, and the Lady Ravens playing good basketball right now, coming away with a 61-48 win over Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley girls, a young team trying to put some things together, though, under a coach who has been there, done that, played in some big games. It should be interesting to see how Missouri Valley kind of, you know, bounces back. Baker Clark winners last night. Grandview a winner. Mid-America over Culver Stockton in a big fashion. But I think for me, the crazy game, the Valor beating Central Methodist 2-0.
2-0. You don't get a lot of that. Hey, and a great game for Aaliyah Raines last night for the Benedictine Lady Ravens. 18 points on it and really gave her team a boost on the way to that win. And so that was, it's fantastic. Love to see, you know, the area players make an impact.
Yeah, Big 7 product out of Jeff West. So when you quickly scan over the standings in the South, you have Mid-America who is 2-0 right now on top of the conference. They're 3-3 overall. Benedictine 1-0 and 8-1. You've got Evangel 1-0 by way of that win over Central Methodist via forfeit. Central Methodist, right? Correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't think they're playing Saturday either, right?
Correct, they are not.
So they're going to go...
They're going to start 0-2.
They're going to start 0-3 in the conference,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so a tough break for them. Clark is on top of the North Division with Grandview. Both of those are 2-0, 1-0 respectively, 8-2, 6-2, and you know, look at William Penn. They're 11 games in, still looking for their first W on the ladies' side.
Okay, when we get to the guys, you talk about some great records. I want to share these. The guys' side is nuts. Last night, it was a thrilling game as Evangel got by Central Methodist 65-64. Mount Mercy beat Peru State by 5. It was Park, a 15-point win over Baker. Penn by 20 over Grandview. Culver Stockton a 23-point win over Mid-America. And Clark came from behind in the final minute of the game to win 77-74 for Benedictine. Gus, the Ravens found themselves trailing in the ball game early, got down by a bunch in early in the second half, down 17. Cut it to a 3-point game with just over a minute to play, but Valley was able to hold them off, winning at 73-68 last night.
Valley has a lot of horses, right? I mean, they're going to be a really good team this year. Games going on Saturday around the conference. You're going to have Evangel taking that 42-hour bus ride all the way up to Dubuque. And I have a feeling at some point they're just going to say they're not doing that anymore, but maybe not. You're going to have William Penn and Culver Stockton playing Mid-America, Benedictine hosting Mid-America. That is a 12 o'clock ladies game, 2 o'clock guys game. Graceland, Peru. You're going to have Mount Mercy, Grandview, and Missouri Valley and Baker. So Park going to get the W over Central Methodist ladies. So the guys will only play on Saturday.
Yeah, and you were talking about the records of the teams. You have the guys' records anywhere right there because men's teams are fabulous.
So on the guys' side, you go to the North Division, William Penn, not a shock at 10-0. The one that does maybe jump out at me a little bit as a surprise, Culver Stockton at 10-0, undefeated in the conference. Then you drop down. You've got some 5-3, 5-5, 5-7 type teams in the North. Then you go to the South. Valley is 8-1. Park is 6-1. Evangel is 7-2. Central Methodist is 8-2. Then you've got Benedictine at 6-4 and Mid-America at 6-5, 1-1 in the conference.
And, so, of course, it'll be Mid-America coming into the New Orleans on Saturday.
And if you're just a big Rocky fan, this will maybe be the last time Rocky's in the Nolan.
Yep, who is not a Rocky fan? He has been around a long time. Head coach Lamar in his final season.
How crazy is that? You've seen the coach before Rocky.
Yes, and here we go. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. Be back. Final segment of Sports Look right after this. Back with you on Sports Look. We go to the final segment, and just after a week off last week, the Kansas City Chiefs should be pretty well rested as they're going to entertain the Denver Broncos. Bronco fans, and I've been texting you stories all week, Bronco fans are absolutely 100% thoroughly convinced they're going to win this game.
Yeah. I mean, and you even hear Denver players are convinced they're going to win this game, right? They keep talking about Kansas City is very beatable and this and that. And right now, Kansas City's last four games, and you think, oh, only four games. That's a quarter of the season, okay? Like, their last four games have been just locked down, nobody's coming in there and beating them type of thing. And so it'll be interesting to see the bye week, how that improved the team, how does that change anything. You know, a lot of teams are, you know, either you love or you hate the bye week, and Chiefs are playing really good, so it'll be interesting to see how they do. But Kansas City on Sunday night, a 9.5-point favorite in that ball game, the over-under 47.
Yep, and that is the Sunday night game. They flex that to the Sunday evening game, and so it is the marquee game of the weekend.
Who would have ever thought that early on in the season?
Hey, who'd have thought the Cowboys would be on Thursday night with the Saints in a game that they probably really need to win?
Yeah, it's almost a must-win for Dallas, right?
It is.
Because all of a sudden you look open, the Washington football team keeps winning games, and they keep closing in on you. Philadelphia's maybe a team that's starting to close the gap a little bit. And just 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, Dallas was a 97% chance to win their division. Now they're all the way down to like a 77, but you still like that. You're a three-quarters chance to win it. But, you know, they'll play New Orleans tonight. Taysom Hill is going to quarterback New Orleans. Dallas, a six-point favorite in that one.
You're going to be a big Bengals fan?
Yes. Bengals, a three-point favorite against the Chargers. That's a noon game on Sunday. And the Monday game actually has some interest for me.
Yeah. Patriots at the Bills. What in the world has happened to these two teams? Six weeks ago, the Bills were running away with the East.
Yeah.
They were the best team. They thought maybe they were just Super Bowl team coming out of the AFC. They were so good, and the Patriots, they were just stinking it up. Now, suddenly, it's just completely flipped. The Bills are struggling, can't figure it out. Patriots are beating everyone, and Belichick magic is back.
Yeah, Belichick has got to love this, right? I mean, like, everybody kind of swore him off after Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl, but now it's like, well, maybe the old coach knows what he's doing. Should be a fun game on Monday Night Football. I can't remember the last time we've had a real good Monday Night Football game. So,
hey, there's going to be some great games. Last week was, you know, there was, what, Rivalry Week and this and that. This week is going to be championship games around the FBS. And there are some pretty doggone good games here.
Yeah, there's some games that jump out at you. I think Cincinnati and Houston, don't count that out as a...
Bearcats got to win this.
They've got to win, but that's going to be a tough game. Houston is, you know, better than you think. The Big 12 game, I love it because it's two teams that we're just not used to in this game.
Oklahoma State and Baylor are going to be playing in the Big 12 championship game. You've got in the SEC, people always love to talk SEC. Well, this will be genuinely, legitimately a pretty good game, except that Georgia will win it.
Yeah, you think it'll be good? I think Georgia wins this thing by 30.
Think they run away?
Oh, man. Have you seen their defense?
By the way, I was pulling for Auburn so hard last week, you just don't even know.
But Georgia's defense is fantastic. I think they're only giving up 6.5 points a game right now. They are locked down. The best defense probably since, like, the 0-1 Canes.
Okay. You go to the Big Ten, and I know you were such a Big Ten fan.
Oh, yeah. Give me the Hawkeyes over Michigan.
And
I just don't care for Michigan.
How about out west? Are you Ducks?
Okay. This is going to be interesting. This is a rematch from a game a couple weeks ago where Utah just hammered Oregon. I think Mario Cristobal is leaving Oregon, and I just think that Utah wins again.
Really? Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I just think that Mario Cristobal is a guy who's been floated around as the next guy to be at Miami if they get rid of Manny Diaz. And Diaz coached really well down the stretch. But again, Mario Cristobal, a kid who grew up right there in Miami, played at Miami, was a defensive coach at Miami for a while. I just feel like everything points to they're looking to maybe bring back Cristobal. Whoever would have thought in the ACC title game you'd see Wake Forest and Pitt?
And no one.
And I'm telling you, I love the Sun Belt Conference. Raging Cajuns against
the Mountaineers?
The Mountaineers. So
that all said, real quickly, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the incredible coaching carousel.
Oh, man.
What on earth is going on? And why are they doing it now? You understand these things a lot of times better than I do. Help me out with this. Why, if you're Kelly, do you announce, and you're probably going into the championship series, you announce that you're leaving your team. I mean, why?
Money.
Why does Oklahoma move to Southern Cal? Why are these things happening? What's Lincoln thinking?
You know, I think that is he didn't want to go to the SEC, right? And I don't think Oklahoma would be overly, I don't think they'll be as good as they are in the Big 12 when they go to the SEC. And I just don't think that he wanted to see that kind of hit on his career. He goes to the Pac-12. I mean, it'll be kind of like what he did in the Big 12. I think he's going to go to the Pac-12. He's going to win. He's going to be very successful, have no problems. Oregon is really the only team that's going to get in his way once in a while. And so I think that that's a good fit for him. I think Oklahoma's going to struggle in the SEC. Can I tell you, I'm not going to be shocked if Bob Stoops doesn't go back to Oklahoma. He's going to coach him for their bowl game. But I have a feeling that he's going to be the guy who just kind of weathers the first couple of years storm there in the SEC and then turn it over to somebody he likes. Because everybody keeps throwing around the name Brent Venables. I think Venables would be a great coach. I just don't think he has the, you know, energy or real desire to be a head coach someday.
I'll tell you a name that I'm hearing thrown around a lot, and I don't know, you know, not besides just Nick Saban. I don't know if he might move, but
Urban Meyer maybe?
Sarkanian.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it just, yeah, I don't know. It'll be real interesting to see what Oklahoma does, because Oklahoma also is losing a lot of talent to graduation. They're losing a lot of their recruits to USC. That's kind of weird. So it'll be real interesting to see what happens to Oklahoma.
Last thing, I'm not into rumors, but this one I'm going to share with you because I'm hearing it bouncing around. There was a Spencer Rattler sighting in Lincoln.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was going to say, okay, so that would maybe explain why Nebraska's starting quarterback for the last 2 years just put his name into the portal. So,
hey, anyway, who knows?
And
oh, okay.
The hot stove has been turned off.
Yep. We're putting a bucket of ice on the hot stove. I hope MLB gets this thing figured out. Well, I'll tell you what, we got to figure it out. We got to get out of here because we've got high school football coming up here in minutes, as it's going to be Atchison High at Heritage Christian tomorrow night. Morgan Mount Academy hosting Atchison County Community High School Saturday at noon. Benedictine Lady Ravens, the Benedictine guys at 2 o'clock on K-Radio, and the next Tuesday, MHMA at JCN. Hoops are here, and we love it. K-Radio sponsors here for Sports Look: Taco John's, Gerber Electric, Hamada Wealth Management, and Exchange Bank. Stick around. Basketball coming up next. So long, everybody.